السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا لا إله إلا الله اللهم ارفع هدي الدعوة الصلاة القائمة الوسيلة الوسيلة
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد We begin by praising Allah We praise Him We ask for His help, and we seek His forgiveness. And we declare that nobody deserves to be worshipped besides the one and only true God, and that is Allah. And we declare that Muhammad was the last and final messenger sent for our guidance and for the guidance of all humanity. Brothers and sisters, we finished the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the month of Ramadan that there is a purpose behind why we're fasting, And there's a purpose behind why we are increasing in our worship of Allah. We've heard this verse probably a few times in the month of Ramadan, where Allah said, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been prescribed for you, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, the way it was prescribed for those before you, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you might become pious." Or you might become mindful and conscious of Allah. Let's focus on two aspects of this verse. Number one, Allah said fasting has been prescribed for you. And when you prescribe something to somebody else, it almost sounds like what happens when you get ill or you get sick, you go to a doctor and they give you a prescription. This is one aspect we'll reflect upon. The second aspect is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that perhaps you might become pious. Meaning you're fasting in Ramadan, you're putting a lot of effort and emphasis in trying to be a better Muslim in the month of Ramadan, and then it says, لَعَلَّكُمْ So that you might. There's no guarantee. It doesn't say if you do this, automatically this is going to happen. But it's kind of like a hopefully. And what happens is when the word لَعَلَّ, hopefully, it means that this is what's expected of you, this is what's hoped from you, but part of the reason why people will either get it, they will attain piety, they will become better Muslims after the month of Ramadan, or they may not, part of it has to do with the way in which they look at themselves. and the way in which they look at what Ramadan is supposed to be. So that's something very important for us to think about. Because you talk to everybody and they say Ramadan went by so quickly. And you hear this every year, but then even this year you say, but this year specifically it went by even faster. And now we're in the month of Shawwal. And in the month of Shawwal, for some reason, you hear this from a lot of people. And I feel it myself sometimes. In the month of Shawwal, it's difficult to fast. Even those people who want to make up, do the 6 extra days of fasting in the month of Shawwal, which is highly recommended, they say it's so difficult to do the fasting outside of Ramadan. In Ramadan, it was so easy, but in Shawwal, it's so difficult. Just a few days later, it's not the same. It was so easy to come to the masjid in Ramadan, it's so difficult outside of Ramadan. It's so easy to read extra Quran in Ramadan, even though I was so busy and sleep deprived and food deprived and water deprived. But outside of the month of Ramadan, it's so challenging. It's so difficult. Why is this happening? What's the reason behind it? Well, there are a few explanations. One explanation is because we know in the month of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ, peace and blessings be upon him, he said that the shayateen, the devils, they're chained down. And the scholars explain that they're chained down for the people who are fasting. Meaning that Allah makes it in such a way where it's easier for people to do good, it's harder for people to do bad, there's less temptation because Allah is protecting them. So that's one explanation, and that's true, no doubt about it. The second explanation has to do with people saying, you know what, I did so much in the month of Ramadan, and I just feel like I ran a marathon, and now I just need to rest and relax, and I can't keep up that kind of momentum anymore. I need to recover from all of the things that I was doing in the month of Ramadan, the prayer, the fasting, the visiting people, the coming to the masjid, all of that stuff. So that's another explanation. But there's one more explanation that we don't really think about too much, but it's backed by solid research. And it's known as the expectation effect. And the expectation effect basically is this idea that, you know what, there are some people, they're keeping up 25% of the things that they did extra in the month of Ramadan. Or even 10%. You know, the goal of Ramadan is supposed to be that some of the things you do that you weren't doing before Ramadan, you continue them after the month of Ramadan. It's never going to be the same. You can never do 100% or even 75% of going to the masjid and praying Taraweeh, which you can't pray outside of Ramadan anyways. But you're supposed to keep up some percentage. So there are some people, they keep up a little bit more as long as you are closer and doing more than you did before Ramadan. After Ramadan, you've improved. There are some people who improved. There are some people, they go exactly back to where they were before Ramadan. Exactly the same amount of coming to the masjid, same amount of prayer, same amount of fasting throughout the year. They're going to go back exactly where they were. And there are some people who actually decline. For some reason, they say, I'm burnt out now. I did so much in Ramadan. Now I'm going to do even less than I did before the month of Ramadan. The same way that there are 3 categories of people, when it comes to medicine, we were talking about kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been prescribed for you. When it comes to medicine, it's actually very similar. Some people, they take medicine and it works and they start feeling better. Some people, they take medicine and it does nothing for them and they don't feel better. And there are some people, they take a certain type of medicine and it's the right thing for their condition and they get worse. They start getting side effects and they're actually worse off than they were than before they had taken that medication or that medicine. And a lot of this has to do with our expectations. And it's important for us to understand what role that plays in our life, because it's going to affect our religiosity. It's going to affect our practice of Islam. It's going to affect what results we're trying to get when we're trying to come closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was an experiment that was done in World War II. There was an anesthesiologist by the name of Henry Beecher, and he was in the United States Army. And what happened was he noticed that there were soldiers who had major battle wounds. You know, bombs were exploding, they had been shot, shrapnel was in their body, And he recognized that 32% of these soldiers, they should have been in extreme pain, but they felt no pain at all. And then he saw that another 44% of these soldiers, they only had a little bit of discomfort. Now imagine if you had shrapnel, pieces of metal from an exploding explosion inside your body, you're going to be feeling a lot of pain all the time. It's extremely painful. But they were doing pretty good. She said, how is it that the majority of these people, why were they feeling good when they're supposed to be feeling bad? So he came up with a hypothesis. And of course, this hypothesis probably was there from the time of Ibn Sina and so many other, you know, Muslim physicians out there. But he came up with the modern hypothesis. And he said that the happiness that these soldiers had, that they survived the war and they didn't die, because so many people were killed in this war. Just like even modern day warfare today, so many people get killed. But this was one of the worst, one of the absolute worst, you know, wars in the 20th century, or in the history of the world, actually. They said that the happiness that the soldiers felt that they survived and they didn't die released natural painkillers in their body and prevented them from feeling the pain that they're supposed to be feeling. So he came up with this idea and said, hey, these soldiers that are about to go into surgery and were running low on morphine, and morphine was this type of, you know, drug that you put in to numb the pain before surgery. Your arm has to be cut off, or your leg has to be cut off, or something like that. You know, may Allah protect us from ever going through something like that. But they ran short on morphine. So he said, you know what? Let's just come up with a fake saline solution and tell the soldiers we're injecting morphine into their body. Pretend. So they did it. And they realized that 90% of the people who received that injection, they felt little or no pain. Because they believed. They believed and they were convinced and they expected that they're not supposed to feel any pain. Their body released the natural painkillers and it worked. So there has been decades of research into what we call the placebo effect, right? This idea of if you expect something, it will physically change your body to produce certain results. And that's a very interesting concept, because the way that your mind expects things to happen will actually change your perception of reality, and it can even change parts of your body. So how does this relate to Ramadan? How does this relate to Ramadan ending, Shawwal starting, and us understanding that, hey, you know what? To what level can we remain the best Muslims that we possibly can be? Well, the first thing to understand is the definition of a placebo is a substance or a treatment that has no therapeutic value. Ramadan is obviously not that. Ramadan is not a placebo. Ramadan is a month that's filled with barakah. It is something that is true. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. The plan that Allah has given us in the Quran is true. If we fast in Ramadan, we have the right state of mind. We have the right expectations. It's going to change our lives completely. But what happens is that if we have the wrong expectations, it can actually cause the problems that we have. And that's why they came up with something also called the nocebo effect. And the nocebo effect means that if you expect something to cause problems, it's going to start causing problems. So if you take a medicine, if you have a headache, and then you go and you read on the medicine for your headache that one of the side effects is that it can cause you to become dizzy, right? And actually, if you found out that that's not a real side effect, somebody just faked it and they put it in there, but you believed it, you can actually start becoming dizzy. And this has been shown in so many, you know, experiments. So much research has shown that when people believe a negative result is going to happen, it starts happening even though it wasn't supposed to happen. Somebody keeps on telling you and you convince yourself that, hey, I'm going to feel dizzy when this thing happens. You're going to start doing it even though there was no reason for you to do that. This is what happens to people in the month of Ramadan, and we want to avoid this. As soon as Ramadan is over, there's this idea that, you know what? I'm never going to be able to keep that up. I can never read that much Quran. I can never make it to the masjid that much ever again. I cannot increase myself at all. In fact, only I improve in the month of Ramadan and then I go right back to where I was because that's simply the way I am. You expect that, it's likely going to happen to you. If you expect that the barakah of the month of Ramadan, you expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan and wisdom behind instituting the month of Ramadan is going to leave permanent changes in you, then that expectation is more likely to make those permanent changes in you. So a lot of this has to do with our framing of what we expect the month of Ramadan to do to us on a permanent level. This is point number one. Other point I want to mention is that we should really understand ourselves very well. Many people don't understand themselves, but the month of Ramadan helps you and helps me to realize what we are capable of individually. Some of us, we think, you know what? I can't do that. I'm not there yet. I still have a lot of work to do. We all have a lot of work to do. But Ramadan lets you realize what extent you can push yourself and what your real capacity is. Because if you believe your capacity is here, you might just end up here. But when you get pushed in Ramadan, you say, I was able to do this and keep it up for a long time. Now you realize, you know what? I need a little break. I can't be at maximum capacity all year, but I did have the ability to do that. Of course, with the help of Allah, with the barakah and the blessing of Ramadan, but I still have the capability to do more than I'm currently doing right now. So what are some of the things we should have learned about ourselves from the month of Ramadan? Well, the first thing is that we have the ability to appreciate the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Why? Because in the Ramadan, one of the things that we learned is that when you go without food and you go without drink, when you break your fast, you find that people are not that picky. Like they usually are very picky when it comes to food. They're like, I don't want this food and I don't want that food. Every food tastes good. Most food tastes good when you're breaking your fast because you haven't eaten in a long time. And then you begin to appreciate and realize the things that you have. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, he said, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ. The person who's fasting, they're going to have two enjoyable states. They're going to have two happinesses, basically two states of happiness. يَفْرَحُهُمَا. He's going to be happy with both of them. Number one, إِذَا أَفْطَرَ فَرِحَ بِفِطْرِهِ. When the person breaks their fast, they actually feel good and happy that they're able to eat again. They're able to drink again. And then the second one, he says, وَإِذَا لَقِيَ رَبَّهُ فَرِحَ بِحْصَوْمِهِ. And when he meets his Lord, or when she meets her Lord, they're going to be happy that they were fasting. And you get the reward for fasting. So fasting not only gives you the reward in the afterlife, you get to taste some of the reward of the joy that you get when you start to be able to eat or drink again. Assuming that you don't overeat within the first 5 minutes, right? Then it starts to turn into pain. But you feel that joy, you feel that happiness, and you begin to appreciate the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And that's something that we really should have reflected upon in the month of Ramadan, and we should continue that realization, because the reality is 8.9% of the world's population goes to sleep hungry. They don't have enough food. They feel what we feel in the daytime of Ramadan. They feel it at night and they feel it every single day, and there's no way to get out of that. There's no way to break out of that cycle. Just think about that. We're talking about 690 million people, and we have access to so much food. In fact, in our society, in our community, almost always the complaint is that I ate too much and I shouldn't have done that. You don't find people complaining, say, I eat too little, should have eaten more. Almost never. We don't have that problem. That's a blessing from Allah. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings. Number two, the thing that we should have learned is we should have learned to be patient. Ramadan is the month, shahru sabr, the month of patience, as one narration of the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. We have to be patient. And if you're able to be patient and you're able to continue your work, if you're able to continue going to school, and you don't have food, and you don't have drink, you're able to be patient, and you say, you know what, this imam who's reciting, you know, he's reciting a little bit slowly, but there's still many rak'ahs to go of Taraweeh, and you stand there, and you say, it's okay, the feet are starting to hurt a little bit, you learn patience. If you could learn patience in a more difficult state, then you can learn patience in a less difficult state. Number three, we should have learned that we can conquer our sins, not only in the month of Ramadan, but we can continue conquering those sins outside of the month of Ramadan. So what you notice is that if you can give up water in Ramadan, then if you're drinking alcohol, then you can give that up too. Or if you're selling alcohol in your store, you can give that up and you'll be fine. Allah will bless your income. You realize that if you gave up food in the month of Ramadan during the day, you can give up smoking. You could give up vaping. You could give up smoking weed. You can do other things, because if you had the level of self-control to be able to give this up in Ramadan, and some people, they said, I'm going to stay away from these particular things that I shouldn't be doing in the month of Ramadan. If you can do it in the month, you can do it outside of the month. You can do it throughout the rest of the year. There are other people, they made a commitment and they said, I'm going to dress more modestly. If you can dress more modestly in Ramadan, you can dress more modestly outside of Ramadan. Some sisters, they started wearing hijab in the month of Ramadan. And they're not sure if they can keep it up. If you can do it in that month, you can do it outside of the month. If you decided to, you know, change something else in your life, you can keep that up outside of that. So when you feel the pains of hunger, and you were able to give up looking at the bad scenes in the movies that you're watching, and you say, in Ramadan, I'm not going to watch those movies. Or in Ramadan, when I'm watching those movies, I'm going to make sure I look away and I don't watch those things. You can continue that after the month of Ramadan, because Allah has showed you what you're made of. Allah has given you the ability. When somebody goes and sends you a link, or you decide that you need a quick fix and you go on a website that you shouldn't be going to, and you watch something that you shouldn't be watching, you were able to resist in Ramadan. You can continue that motivation and keep it beyond the month of Ramadan. Number four, you learned, and I've learned, that we can be punctual in our prayers. In the month of Ramadan, everyone knew exactly when Fajr time started, because you eat until that time. Everyone knew exactly when Maghrib prayer was. It was much easier to make it and be consistent in our prayers. And what we need to realize is we can keep that up, being consistent in your prayers, praying things on time, not taking them lax and say, you know what, I'll just make up the prayers when I get home. It's really busy at work right now. I'll just make qada when I go home. We didn't have to do that. Ramadan was a time where many people who were not consistent, they were consistent. Many people who could not wake up for Fajr, they woke up for Fajr because they wanted to have that early morning meal. If we can wake up for Fajr prayer in Ramadan, you can wake up for Fajr prayer outside of Ramadan. And I'm speaking primarily to college age students who always tell me, I can do all the prayers, but this Fajr one, this is crazy, man. 5 a.m., I just can't do it. You did it. You did it in Ramadan. You can do it with the help of Allah outside of Ramadan. The help of Allah does not go away. So we should continue that. And this is our test. 1 week after Ramadan, it's the make it or break it week. If you can keep up those habits in Ramadan, this is going to determine whether or not you can do it. Set your alarm. Tell your friend to give you a phone call. Parents, remind their children. Children, remind your parents. Let's keep up our prayers. Because prayers are the foundation of our deen. Foundation of prayer. Don't take them lightly. Number five, if we could fit more Quran into our life in Ramadan, we can fit more Quran into our life outside of Ramadan, even though it's less than what we did. And lastly, this idea of brotherhood and sisterhood, the idea of an ummah, the idea of a Muslim community. It was a beautiful thing in Ramadan when we see so many people in the masjid. You say salamu alaikum, you greet your brothers and your sisters, and you see everyone. That you have this feeling, and when you're around Muslims, you feel like a sense of honor. You feel a sense of strength. You feel a reminder that, you know what? I'm Muslim. Islam is my religion. Allah is my Lord. We need those reminders. We don't get them everywhere. You can't go to a grocery store when we're a minority population, 1% in America. You can't just say salamu alaikum to everyone randomly. You can't hear the adhan on the loudspeaker, unless Minneapolis new law just passed. You know, inshallah, more cities will come. But you can't do that. But when you have that feeling, it changes your life, being able to see those Muslims. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to keep up the momentum of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to learn and continue the lessons that we were supposed to learn in the month of Ramadan after this, now that this month is over. Ameen. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafur rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Just a concluding remark and reminder that we're not going to be able to do what we did in the month of Ramadan. But the goal is that whatever you did before the month of Ramadan, if you would read Quran for 10 minutes after Ramadan, try to make it 13 minutes, 15 minutes. If you would come to the masjid twice a week before Ramadan, then after Ramadan, try to make it 3 times a week. Try to make some small improvement to your Islamic routine more than you were before the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah, O Allah, help us and guide us at all times. O Allah, help us to be the best Muslims we can be. O Allah, accept our prayers and accept our fasting in the month of Ramadan. O Allah, help us to be sincere to you and to not have any ulterior motives. O Allah, purify our hearts from illicit desires and from things which would displease you. O Allah, show us the truth is truth and help us to follow it. Show us the false is false and keep us away from it. Ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa qimis salam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله استووا استقيموا فاعتدلوا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Sheikh Mustafa Omar, for this beautiful reminder about keeping the spirit of Ramadan now and continue, inshallah. And so we can improve and keep on improving, inshallah, until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have a request for dua for several people. The list is small, but there are many more people who are suffering from cold and including COVID. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the shifa to those who are in difficulty. We pray for Brother Muhammad Rafi, Brother Haisam Bundakti, Sister Suraya Khanam, Sister Brother Sami'ur Rahman, and Dr. Jamila Qureshi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and give them shifa. And dua maghfirah for Brother Muhammad Ziya Faruqi. May Allah give him forgiveness. Allahumma ighfir lahu wa raham. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakarina wa unsana. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fa ahyihi ala al-islam. Wa man tawaffaytahu minna fa tawaffahu ala al-iman. Allahumma shufardana wa raham mawtana wa akhtim salihati amalana. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khari khalqihi Muhammad wa alihi wa ashabihi wa adbahi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya Allah.